It has been 1 year since the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear disaster struck Japan. The accident began with a massive earthquake and tsunami that hit Japan's northeastern coast on March 11, 2011, destroying the Fukushima power plant's electrical system, causing coolants to stop functioning and resulting in a reactor meltdown. More than 300 workers received significant radiation doses while attempting to contain the meltdown, six of them with radiation levels exceeding lifetime legal limits. Future cancer deaths due to radiation accumulation in the area are estimated to range from 100 to 100,000. In response to the meltdown, the Japanese government ordered a 20-kilometer evacuation radius around the plant and a ban on consumption of food grown in the area. Decontamination efforts are expected to be long and laborious, with 8% of Japan being affected from radiation released from the Fukushima Daiichi incident, according to the government. Events were held in various cities in the U.S. as well as around the world to mark the one-year anniversary of the Fukushima incident. Many of the events were organized by anti-nuclear activists, eager to remind the world of the dangers of nuclear power. Today, the Fukushima Daiichi power plant remains in a state of cold shutdown, meaning that the plant operates in a stable manner and emits radioactive levels low enough to pose no public danger. But the most damaged sections of the plant are too polluted with radioactivity to allow any people inside them. The government has hired workers to continue the painstaking task of decontaminating the area so that the thousands of evacuated people may someday return. My guest is Kevin Camps, radioactive waste watchdog at the group Beyond Nuclear. Welcome to Uprising, Kevin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, there's a lot to discuss. Let's start with the status of Fukushima Daiichi reactor right now. What do you make of the statement by the government that currently it is in cold shutdown and that even though there is low-level radiation, it does not pose any threat to the public?
Well, there's tremendous skepticism even about the claims that the reactors are in cold shutdown. Really, all that means is that the temperature of the nuclear material in the melted cores is below the boiling point of water. But they have to continually put more cooling water in to keep it that way. And the meltdowns are so bad, it's called X-vessel in the nuke speak of the nuclear establishment. What it means is the cores, when they melted down a year ago, over that first week or so, they melted right through the reactor pressure vessel, through this thick steel vessel, and then they flowed as a liquid onto the floor beneath, and that is the primary containment structure. And at least one of the units, that meltdown burned very close to getting outside of even that primary containment structure. So the mother load of radioactivity is still inside these melted down cores, and how close it is to getting into the environment is anyone's guess. At the very best, it's going to take some decades to so-called clean up the site. But the question is, where would all that radioactive waste go to? A dump site in Japan? A form of re-releasing the radioactivity into the air right now is a standard practice is burning contaminated rubble across the country. And then the radioactive ash is then dumped in places like Tokyo Bay. But when you burn radioactively contaminated physical objects, the radioactivity can escape into the air for the second time to recontaminate downwind.
Well, it's interesting to see some of the media coverage around this disaster 1 year later, particularly in the U.S. One entitled "Fukushima's Refugees Are Victims of Irrational Fear, Not Radiation" is by Dr. James Konka, writing for Forbes. There was also an article in the New York Post entitled "Relief After Effects of Fukushima Nuclear Accident Appear to Be Minimal," and also the Wall Street Journal. What do you make of some of these news reports that seem to give the impression that everything's okay?
It's an industry-funded backlash against the truth. I thought that radiophobia, as it's called, was first invented at Chernobyl, and I was not surprised that the Soviet Union government would come up with such an idea. And then I learned about 5 years ago that no, it was the U.S. government that came up with this idea.
Radiophobia. I mean, it sounds like cancer phobia.
Yeah.
It's as if we are irrationally afraid of something that is mortal.
Accusing the victims. It's it's re-victimizing people who've already suffered, you know, a large-scale radioactive assault. Now you're saying it's all in their heads. I mean, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave a sermon once where he said, yes, there are forms of fear that are paralyzing and irrational and therefore not healthy, but why does fear exist? Fear is a warning mechanism. It warns us against dangerous things. There is certainly a healthy level of fear about radioactivity. And in the present day, a year after this catastrophe, people need to be concerned about the food supply in Japan. The government there has made up its safety regulations as it's gone. It didn't used to have a regulation for how much radioactivity in food is acceptable. And when they use the word acceptable or permissible, that does not mean safe. It means they've done a cost-benefit analysis, and they've determined that something is acceptably risky. And they've set the level at 500 becquerels per kilogram of food. A becquerel is a radiation unit of measurement. It means one radioactive disintegration per second. But it's not like it's over after that 1 second. It keeps going. In the case of radioactive cesium, which seeks human muscle tissue like the heart, they've determined that 500 becquerels, or 500 radioactive disintegrations of cesium in food at 2.2 pounds or a kilogram of food is acceptably risky. And in the United States, incredibly, our standard is worse. The U.S. government has set the level at 1,200 becquerels per kilogram, which technically means that contaminated food from Japan, deemed not acceptable to be consumed by humans, could be exported to the United States for sale.
Wow. Well, some of the media coverage here also interviews experts who claim that scientists know very little about the effect on the human body of extended exposure to low-level radiation. Is that true?
Well, there's a raging debate, and like I said before, the nuclear industry is one of the most wealthy industries in the history of the world, and so they pay scientists to kind of say what they would like said about how radiation's not that bad. In fact, it might be good for you. Really crazy stuff. And then, you know, there's our side with no money trying to rebut that with facts and the truth. And so what we do know is that the National Academy of Sciences in the United States for decades now has affirmed that any exposure to radioactivity carries a health risk. A health risk of cancer in particular is what they focused on, but a whole spectrum of disease, including genetic damage. That's because any one of those radioactive disintegrations could hit you in just the wrong place, like a DNA molecule, a chromosome, and initiate a cancer. It may take years or even decades to unfold and become apparent to you, but it will initiate that cancer at that moment. So the estimates of releases from Fukushima, you mentioned the downplaying in certain media outlets. The figure on the cesium alone is 40 quadrillion becquerels of radioactive cesium released into the environment. And so that's a lot of radioactivity, and each second, 40 quadrillion radioactive disintegrations are taking place in the environment that weren't there before this catastrophe, any one of which could initiate a cancer.
I'm speaking with Kevin Camps, who is the radioactive waste watchdog at Beyond Nuclear, a group here in the United States. We're talking about the one-year anniversary of the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear meltdown. The actual anniversary was yesterday. There were dozens of events commemorating the disaster around the world and here in the United States as well. Kevin, one of the issues of concern when this disaster was unfolding was the water that was being used to cool down the plant, which of course became contaminated, and reports that the government was essentially approving that that water simply be dumped into the Pacific Ocean. What is the status of that now, and has that caused any issues? You mentioned food and certainly fish in the ocean areas around the northeast part of Japan, northeastern coast of Japan. Is that the main outcome that we're seeing of this this dump of radioactive contaminated water?
Yes. Well, there were, you know, just the catastrophe itself and the accident was releasing tremendous amounts of radioactivity into the atmosphere and into the ocean. That was unintentional and accidental, and it was very large scale. In addition to that now, as I mentioned, the burning of radioactive rubble, the dumping of the radioactive ash into the ocean, that's very intentional, unfortunately. And in fact, there was also intentional dumping of highly radioactive cooling water from Fukushima Daiichi because they had simply run out of storage space for any more. And currently, as we speak, they have some 100,000 tons of radioactively contaminated water being stored in places never designed for such a thing, like basements at the plant site, and also just ad hoc storage containers. So hopefully they will not do what they did before, which was just intentionally release what they considered lower levels of radioactivity in the water so they could make room for even worse contaminated radioactive water. That happened last April. So yes, the food supply is very suspect. Now, going out to distances of hundreds of miles into the Pacific, there have been fish and other seafood documented to be severely contaminated. And whether or not that is being monitored in places like the United States as it comes in for the market is a very good question.
So, Kevin, I want to ask you now to discuss a little bit about the effects of what has been happening to the population that was evacuated and the workers. First of all, the folks that were living in and around the Fukushima area that were evacuated are unable to come back to their homes, but the government is giving the impression that there's this massive cleanup operation that may in the future enable thousands of people to return. And then there's the workers themselves, not only the ones that are involved in the cleanup now, but those that were involved in the cleanup initially, a handful of whom, as I'd mentioned earlier, received radiation limits exceeding lifetime legal limits. Do you know, first of all, whether the claims that people will be able to return to their homes are valid?
Well, there's a 12.4-mile dead zone, and I don't even think the Japanese government is talking about moving people back into there. That's going to be like the Chernobyl dead zone, which is bigger in size. It's more like 20 miles and even bigger than that in certain directions. But unfortunately, the Japanese government is talking about moving people right up to that borderline, the 12.4-mile radius. And you know, that's very irresponsible. There are severe hotspots throughout Fukushima Prefecture, throughout Miyagi Prefecture to the north, and to have people living in that contamination is going to cause health damage over time. And the government's assuring people that cleanups will be done, that everything will be fine. And again, I put out the warning, where will the contaminated soil and other materials go to that is supposedly being cleaned up? Will it be incinerated again and put it into the air? So a lot of questions remain about what's being proposed, and it's not responsible to be moving people back into contaminated zones.
And what about the workers, both the sets of workers involved in cleanup now and those involved in the cleanup initially?
Workers are bearing the brunt of the health damage. They're on the front lines of this. And there's a lot of abuse and exploitation going on. In fact, the Japanese mafia is involved in recruiting workers to go in there. And oftentimes, these are desperate people who have no other options. They're deeply in debt, including to the mafia. And so they're forced to work in these very dangerous circumstances. And they're actually paid very little money. The mafia recruiters get the lion's share of the money from Tokyo Electric Power Company. So there was a speaker at an event in New York who said that some of these workers are getting minimum wage payment to do very dangerous jobs.
Well, finally, Kevin Camps, is there a sense that the Japanese government's reaction is one that is being understood properly? Are people trying to hold the Japanese government accountable inside Japan?
There's an amazing movement on the ground in Japan, and just one sign of how effective it's been. Japan has 54 commercial atomic reactors. Of course, three of them melted down a year ago, so that brings it down to 51. But of the 51 still remaining reactors, only two are operating right now. And it's an old tradition. It's not even a legal right of prefectural governments and town governments to say no to a nuclear reactor restart. No local municipality had ever said no before this catastrophe. And now when a reactor shuts down for maintenance or for an emergency, they're saying no, you will not restart. So there's a tremendous struggle between the grassroots of Japan and the federal government, which is very pro-nuclear, and of course the utility companies. But as we speak, and by May, there could be zero atomic reactors operating. But this is a struggle that the other side is not ready to surrender on. So the struggle will continue.
And are there groups inside Japan that Americans can work in solidarity with, that you can share with us, or that groups like yours, Beyond Nuclear, are working with?
One of the best groups, in my opinion, is Green Action of Japan. So their website is just that, Green Action of Japan. And they have a Fukushima updates page in English. They're working with the grassroots in Fukushima. Fukushima, ironically, was an organic center in Japan. And so the organic farmers whose livelihoods are ruined have really taken up the cause so that their suffering is not in vain. And they're calling on all nuclear power plants in the world to be shut down so that their suffering and the catastrophe that they've been through will not be in vain.
The website is greenaction-japan.org, greenaction-japan.org. We'll link to that from uprisingradio.org later today. And give out a website for Beyond Nuclear, Kevin?
Yeah, our website is beyondnuclear.org.
That's beyondnuclear.org. Kevin Camps, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Kevin Camps is the radioactive waste watchdog at Beyond Nuclear. Again, their website, beyondnuclear.org. The website he recommended, greenaction-japan.org. We've been taking a look at what's happened in the Fukushima region of Japan following the disaster exactly 1 year ago yesterday.